Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for all you do. We thank you for your word, and I pray that we would follow you in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Tonight, we're studying the death of the Lord Jesus. And the point of our study tonight is that forgiveness is possible because Jesus died for our sins. You know, we've become a nation of do-it-yourselfers, haven't we? You get stuck? Don't worry. It's very likely there's an online video to show you just exactly what to do. It feels good, too, when you step back and see something you fixed on your own. Even though it may have taken 4 or 5 times longer to do it, you can say, I did it! It was me! But you know what? You can't fix everything. Sometimes you have to call a pro. I know nobody would want to do brain surgery on themselves or heart surgery on themselves, would they? I don't think so. And a broken relationship with God is something else that we can't fix by ourselves. There are plenty of religions that say that you can, but their methods are so ineffective. In fact, there's only one person who can fix our sin problem. That's the Lord Jesus. John chapter 19, let me read you verses 8 through 11. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said unto him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and have power to release you? Jesus answered and said, you could have no power at all against me unless it was given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has a greater sin. Here in John chapter 19, picks up about halfway through the account of Jesus' death. Judas had already betrayed him. The authorities had already arrested him. They had dragged him out in front of an angry mob, and they had whipped him, flogged him. The Jewish leaders were calling for him to be crucified. And now he's with another meeting with Pilate, who was the governor of Judea. And folks, Pilate was between a rock and a hard place. Jesus had said some things that the Jewish leaders didn't like. Now, prior to having Jesus flogged, Pilate told the Jewish believers in verse 38 of chapter 18 of John, I find no fault with him. In Pilate's eyes, Jesus was innocent. But the angry mob outside was causing problems. If Pilate didn't give them what they wanted, he ran the risk of his district rioting, and it would really look bad on him as the governor. You see, Pilate had full authority to release Jesus or to crucify him. In fact, he was the only one who could give that order. And he had reminded Jesus of that fact in verse 10. Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? It's interesting what Jesus said. You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Can you imagine the things that Jesus could have done? He could have fought for his innocence. He could have started an argument. He could have blinked his eyes and everything would have gone away. Instead, he humbled himself and turned himself over to the cries of that angry mob outside. Remember, Jesus wasn't submitting to Pilate. He wasn't submitting to the crowd. He was submitting to the will of his Father. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Folks, it was all part of God's plan. You see, God is a perfect and a just God. And the work of salvation was perfectly and completely done when Jesus died. Even when circumstances seemed to be out of control, Jesus was able to complete his task, knowing he was held perfectly in the center of God's will. In fact, verse 11, Jesus said to Pilate, you have no power except that God gives you that power. Now look at verse 18 in John chapter 19, or verse 16. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then he took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, Jesus in the center. They led him away to be executed. He wasn't alone. Two criminals went with him. And the event, as incredible as it was, took place on that skull, that Golgotha hill, was captured in three words. They crucified him. But folks, those are very powerful words. The Apostle John didn't go into any graphic detail about the crucifixion. If you want to read that, it's in Matthew chapter 27, Mark chapter 15, and Luke chapters 22 and 23. You can really get a sense of what went on when Jesus was crucified. As Jesus carried the cross up to Golgotha, he was walking a path that we should have walked. We're the ones that deserve to die. As he was nailed into place, his hands and his feet nailed when it should have been our hands, our feet. And when he died a death we deserved and a price that we couldn't afford. It is amazing to think of that sacrifice. Verse 28 in John 19 says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, putting it on a hyssop, putting it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." You know something? If you run a red light in some cities, there are traffic cameras that snap your picture. Then they send it to you in a citation a little bit later. You broke the law. The only way to become right again with the city is by paying the fine for your mistake. Someone had to cover the cost, or you could lose your license or even be arrested. Folks, it's the same with our sin. Sin carries a fine, and that fine is death. Somebody has to pay for it. And when God created Adam and Eve, they lived in a perfect world. But it didn't take long for them to break out of that. They placed their desires above God's commands. In fact, throughout the whole entire Old Testament, God wanted to help his people understand just how serious sin is. How damning it is to our relationship to him. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 4, it outlines all the things that people were required to do to be cleansed of sin. And in every case, every single case, it involves sacrificing an unblemished animal to atone for their sin and guilt. All of them went into the temple and carried constant reminder of our sin's costs. But each of those sacrifices only covered our sins. No sacrifice could atone for the sins the people would commit in the future, the sins that we would commit. But all that changed when Jesus died on the cross. Hallelujah for that. Jesus was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He taught scripture. But he was the Messiah, and he fulfilled the scripture. He completed God's plan for salvation once and for all. Each of the things he said on the cross were a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And John wanted his readers to know without a doubt that every part of Jesus' death was according to God's plan for our redemption. Through the Son of God, the plan of salvation was finally fulfilled, available to everyone who would put their faith in him. It is finished. He was proving that he was the ultimate and final sacrifice who would bring salvation to all of those who asked. So how can we live that out? How can we, the fact that Jesus died for the sins of the world? Well, I think we spend some time in prayer giving thanks for the fact that God has forgiven us of our sins. And then I think we ought to offer forgiveness. You know, there may be somebody in your life or in my life who we've wronged, and we need to reach out to them with a word of forgiveness. But more importantly than that, we ought to share that message. Forgiveness and salvation that Jesus provided through his death is available to everyone. Folks, we're coming up on a very sacred time in the life of Christians. This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus. What a time to invite your friends, your family, to come and share that experience with us. We need to share the good news of the gospel with everyone. Amen? Amen. So as I said, this coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. We hope we'll see you in church. It's a time to really praise the Lord. And next time, we're going to talk about the resurrection. Because folks, if there was no resurrection, there is no hope. But praise God, 3 days after he was placed on that cross and cried those words, "It is finished," the angel said, "He's not here. He is risen, as he said." Hallelujah. Folks, God is good all the time. See you next time.